bless you. Please be seated. Well, good evening. God bless you. Somehow, by God's mercy and grace, we've made it to Wednesday night here at Family Camp, and this is going to be a great night. I'm excited. Let's take our Bibles, go to Exodus chapter 15, please. We've been seeing that there is nothing too hard for our God. He created the heavens and the earth. He's the one that delivered the children of Israel out of the bondage of Egypt and brought them into the promised land. And he's the one who sent his son, Jesus Christ, to deliver all of us when he raised Jesus Christ from the dead. You know, as you get to know the Bible, there's many things that you learn about. You get to learn about history, and you get to learn about marriage and family, and you get to learn about walking wisely and many, many wonderful things. But the greatest thing that you can get to know in getting to know the Bible is the author, is getting to know God himself. And God wonderfully in the Bible describes himself to us so that we get to know him, so that we know what he's like, what his nature is, and what he will do. There's a wonderful section in Exodus chapter 15 when the children of Israel have been brought out of Egypt and out into the wilderness. It says in verse 26 of Exodus chapter 15, "And he said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all these statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that heals thee." God here is describing himself to the children of Israel. And this is one of the names that he gives to himself when it says, "I am the Lord that heals thee." In the Hebrew, some of you might be familiar, it's the Hebrew words Jehovah Rapha. This is one of the redemptive names of God, one of the delivering names of God, that God is the God that heals thee. Now think of the children of Israel. They saw these incredible plagues that went upon the Egyptians not too many days prior to this. But God said, "I will put none of these diseases upon you. I am the Lord God that what? Heals thee." So tonight, from God's word, we would like to look at deliverance from sickness. Let's go to Psalm 103, please. You know, I've mentioned in our opening teaching that when you come to God's word, you find the promise of God that meets your need. And this will be a great example of it tonight, because there are many, many, many promises in God's word that deal with healing. In Psalm 103, at verse 2, it says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." It's pretty cool. It doesn't say remember all his benefits, isn't it? Certainly that would be impossible. But it says don't forget them all. Don't forget all of God's benefits. Verse 3, "Who forgives all thine iniquities, who heals how many of thy diseases?" All of them. What a promise. Look at what God says he will do. "Who forgives all thy iniquities." You know, we looked last night at sin consciousness. It seems to take a great degree of spiritual maturity for people to really realize that their sins have been forgiven. But you know what? They have. Jesus Christ paid the price. We've been cleansed. He forgives all thine iniquities. He also heals all thy diseases. What a promise. What a declaration of God's will. Look at 3 John chapter 2, or first two, 3 John, there's only one chapter. Third John in verse 2 is one great promise, of something that if you have yet to remember, to stick into your memory, I would encourage you to do it. This is something that you can use and cash in on throughout your whole life. 3 John verse 2 says, "Beloved, I wish above all things." Now, if God wishes this above all things, that puts priority on it, doesn't it? I mean, above all things, that thou mayest prosper and be what? In health, even as thy soul prospers. Is there any doubt about what God's will is? It's that we be in good health. This is a verse that you can claim. This is a verse that you can declare and confess whenever there's the temptation for sickness or illness or injury, weakness. How many times throughout the years have some of us cashed in by just simply declaring what the Word of God says? And you know what? Light dispels darkness. Sickness certainly is in the category of darkness. Now this says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mightest be in health." You know what God wants above all things is that you stay in good health. Now I know at times that we fall out of good health, but which is better? To fall out of good health and be sick and then get healed, or just stay healthy? God wishes above all things that you stay in good health. You just stay healthy. And boy, what a wonderful promise that is. It's just to have a good old healthy life. You know, there's some people that seem to be sick all the time. Well, that's not God's will. God wants us to be in good health, to stay in good health. And it says that it's even as thy soul prospers. So to stay in good health, it requires having a prosperous soul. Have you ever asked yourself, what is it that prospers your soul? What is it that really gives you a healthy life? Well, I believe it says in Deuteronomy, and then Jesus Christ reiterated this in Matthew, that man doesn't live by bread alone. You remember that one? That was one that my dad used to say whenever he'd eat a steak. He would say, "Yeah, man doesn't live by bread alone." Well, he's talking about physical food. Man doesn't live by physical food alone. That's not what really causes your life to prosper. But you know what does? Every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. It's that word of God that's our soul food. And it's been the neglect of God's word that has resulted in ill health for many, many human beings throughout the centuries. God wishes that we stay in good health as our soul prospers. Look at Psalm 107, please. You know, one of the ways that you can see God's will for our lives is just how He designed the human body. It says in one of the Psalms that our bodies are made awesomely and wondrously. So what a great declaration about our bodies. Now, our bodies are not perfect. They were certainly affected by the fall of man, but they're still pretty doggone terrific. They've been described as the incredible machine. That's not a bad way of thinking about it. I mean, you know, working with Tommy this week, Tommy is one of the great auto mechanics. Man, he's just an expert when it comes to cars. Tommy, have you ever met a car that repairs itself? If there was such a thing, it might put you out of business, huh? But how about the human body? You know, the human body is constantly repairing itself. You know, it's just how God designed the human body, that you stay in good health. What a wonderful thing. But what really keeps us healthy, what keeps us alive and prospering, is first and foremost the Word. In Psalm 107, it says in let's read verse 19. It says, "Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them out of their distresses. He sent His Word and what? Healed them and delivered them from their destructions." You know, what was it that healed them? It was the Word. What was it that delivered them? The Word. See, God sends His Word, and the Word of God is healing. The Word of God is rescuing. It's delivering. We need the Word to feed our souls so that our souls prosper. You know, it includes reading the Word, thinking the Word, meditating on the Word, you know, speaking the Word. The Word, and nothing but the Word. That's why when you come to family camp, you get so blessed because of the Word. You know, I love Camp Sierra. It's a beautiful place. But I've been here when there's other groups here besides us, and it's just another place, I'll tell you that. You know, it's not the mountains and the water or the other stuff. It's the Word. See, the Word of God is what's healing. It's the Word of God what nurtures our souls. Look at Proverbs chapter 4, please. Remember that wonderful scripture from 2 Timothy that says, all scripture God breathed. You know, that's how we got the word. God breathed the word. It's figure of speech. But it's used first in the Bible that God breathed into Adam the breath of life, and man became a what? Living soul. God breathed life into His word. See, that's why it's a living word. It's not a dead word. It's not just stagnant words. It's not just historical words. It's alive. It's living. The life of God is in His word. And when you get His word and start believing it, it brings life and health to your soul. Look at Proverbs chapter 4. It says in verse 20, "My son, attend to my words. Incline thy ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them," where? "In the midst of thine heart." You know, the best storage facility for God's Word is not CDs or your iPhone or, you know, cassettes or any other thing. You know, the best storage facility for God's Word is right in the human heart. It says, "Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their," what? "Flesh." And God's word is healing. Look at Proverbs chapter 12. See, God's very nature is healing. And He put that nature into His word. So His word is healing. Proverbs chapter 12. It says in verse 18, "There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword." You know, that's not good. You know, sometimes people's words, you know, like fiery darts, you know, sort of pierce and they hurt and they're not good. And sometimes the words that people speak can be more hurtful than if they came and punched you with their fist. But look at what the second part of this verse says. "But the tongue of the wise is," what? "Health." See, the tongue of the wise speaks words, wise words that are health, that are healing. Look at Proverbs 13. It says in verse 17, "A wicked messenger falleth into mischief, but a faithful ambassador is," what? "Health." A faithful ambassador, one who speaks God's word faithfully, is healing, is health. Proverbs 16, please. In verse 24, it says, "Pleasant words are as an honeycomb, sweet to the soul, and health to the," what? "Bones." I believe it's the bones where the blood is made in the body. You know, the life form that flows throughout. See, that's pleasant words, the words of God. The words of God are healing. They are energizing. They bring life to our soul. I believe that the greatest deliverances that I've ever seen in my ministry have been when people start to learn and believe God's word. More than any other ministering, more than any miraculous healings, The great deliverance that comes is when people start getting the light of God's word and get something that they can truly live by, something that's life-changing. Some of us can testify to that. Just remember where you were before you had God's word. God's desire to heal is made known in many different ways. In fact, God has made healing available in many different ways. One of the ways that he's made healing available, something that we're all familiar with, is what could be known as the healing arts. If you ever had a headache and taken an aspirin, it works. Right? Praise God for that. I don't know who figured that out, but been with us a long time. Few of you that are here in the healing arts field, praise God for you. It's wonderful that there's people that we can go to if you break a bone or if have somebody who knows how to set it. In the Bible, there's references to physicians. One of the individuals that traveled often with the Apostle Paul was Luke, and he's described as Luke the physician. In fact, he's the one who wrote down the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts. But he was a medical practitioner. Perhaps you could best think of him as an herbologist or a naturopath back in those days. But he was a physician. And the medical arts are wonderful, and they have their place. Sometimes people get all religious and think that, it's somehow wrong to go to a doctor or something. Chapter and verse. Praise God for the healing arts. Really terrific. But God has also given us many other great forms of healing. Look at 2 Chronicles chapter 30, please. In the Old Testament, one of the things that God gave to the children of Israel for their healing was the Passover. You remember we read it the other night that when the children of Israel left Egypt on that night of the original Passover, there was not one feeble knee among them. Remember, 2.5 million people, they all left healed. It was because of the Passover. And God set up the Passover that it would be celebrated, that it would be believed each year. Now, what happened, unfortunately, like many other things that God gave to Israel's benefit, is they let it slip. And in this particular record, it's a record of Hezekiah, and it's a great record where Hezekiah reinstitutes the Passover in Israel. It says in 2 Chronicles chapter 30, verse 17, and there were many in the congregation that were not sanctified. According to the law of Moses, they should have been to receive the Passover. Therefore, the Levites had the charge of the killing of the Passovers for everyone that was not clean to sanctify them unto the Lord. For a multitude of the people, even many of Ephraim and Manasseh, Issachar and Zebulun, had not cleansed themselves, yet did they eat the Passover otherwise than it was written. But Hezekiah prayed for them, saying, "The Lord, the good Lord, pardon every one that prepared his heart to seek God, the Lord God of his fathers, though he be not cleansed according to the purification of the sanctuary." And the Lord hearkened to Hezekiah, and what did he do? Healed the people. Boy, you talk about grace and mercy. How about that? They didn't live up to all that they were supposed to. They didn't do everything that they're supposed to do according to the law of Moses. But Hezekiah interceded on their behalf, and God heard Hezekiah's prayer. And you know what he did? He graciously, mercifully healed them. Great healing in the Passover. Well, we have the Passover, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, in our day and time. I don't think any of us have gone to fellowship and sacrificed a lamb and then sat around and ate it and all the pertinence thereof. But as many of you know, this was a foreshadowing. This was something that showed forth what would come in reality by Christ. Because it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, "Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed," what? "For us." See, Jesus Christ is our Passover. Now, if they were healed under the Old Testament law, with celebrating the Passover lamb, how about us in our day and time having the true Passover, the true Messiah, Jesus Christ? 1 Peter chapter 2, please. What Christ has accomplished is memorialized in Holy Communion. And periodically, we as in the church, we in varied fellowships get together and we celebrate Holy Communion. There's nothing in the Bible that says that it has to be done in a church building or even with a group of Christians. It's something you can do on your own. But certainly, the section in 1 Corinthians that talks about it is in context of when the church gets together. When the church gets together, we can celebrate Holy Communion. And when we do, we remember what Jesus Christ's body accomplished, and we realize what it was accomplished in the shedding of his blood. 1 Peter chapter 2 speaks of this rather pointedly. It says in verse 24, "Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were," what? "Healed." Again, what a promise. You know, when ill health comes to mind, when something, you know, you ever feel a cold coming on or you feel, you know, something else, oh my gosh, you know, I'm coming down with something. Well, what's your first response? You know, what do you react to? What do you think of? How about this? "By his stripes ye were," what? "Healed." And you notice that's in the past tense. It's an accomplished reality. See, the stripes that were on his back, the torture that he bore, all was for our healing, for the forgiveness of our sins and the healing of our physical bodies. So when you get together in a fellowship and you celebrate Holy Communion, you know what? You're literally eating healing to yourself. See, this is another means that God has given us so that we stay in health, that we can be healed. Look at James chapter 5, please. You know, another great way of being healed, staying healed, is to pray. It says in verse 14 of James chapter 5, "Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith or believing shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be," what? "Healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." See? Boy, throughout the years, our boys, they were just raised with this as a reality. When they get an owie, they come running to mommy or daddy. "Mommy, pray for me." You know, I remember, I believe it was Samuel or Joey. I don't know. This is a long time ago. You're little boys, and one of you slammed your finger in the car door. I was standing right there, and I could see the, and I just prayed right away, and then opened the door, and he walked out, and he said, "God healed my finger. God healed my finger." Was that you, Sam? "God healed my finger." Man, when you're a parent, you pray a lot. A lot of little owies, right? And there's just the simple believing of a child, and it works. And then certainly, a great thing that God has given us is he's given us the ability to minister healing. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. You know, a lot of the things that I just went through are things that you can access every day all by yourself. You can go and read your Bible, get healed. Listen to a teaching tape, get healed. Stay in good health just by having the Word of God dwell in you richly. You know, certainly we have access to different healing arts and to the accomplished work of Jesus Christ to bring that to mind, that by His stripes ye were healed. And certainly our lives are to be lives of prayer, and part of our prayer life is to pray for one another and pray for ourselves for good health and strength. But there are times that you just need a little bit of help. There's a record in the Gospels where a man's son was had some problems, had some spiritual problems, and was resulting in some serious sickness and injury. And the man believed, but he just needed some help believing. And so he came to the Lord Jesus Christ and he said, "Lord, I believe, help thou mine," what? "Unbelief." And that's a lot of what ministering can do. You know, if you don't believe at all, then you wouldn't be involved in the ministering process, you know, and it certainly won't work if you try. But Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. And saints that walk by the Spirit of God, that know how to operate the manifestations, can do that, can help so that you get healed, so that you receive God's will in your life. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the only place in the whole Word of God that lists the nine manifestations, but it says in verse 9, "To another," referring to another prophet, "believing by the same Spirit, to another prophet, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit." You know, the same Spirit that enables you to speak in tongues or to interpret or to prophesy enables you to operate gifts of healings. And gifts of healings is a manifestation that we can all operate. Now, just like any of the other manifestations, it's something that you have to learn. It's something that you have to grow into. And also, certain people have long suits in the gifts of healing. There are some people who are very adept at it. You know, not everyone in the church is going to be a teacher or an apostle or a prophet. Not everyone in the church, their long suit is going to be word of wisdom, but we can all operate word of wisdom. There's some people whose long suit is the manifestation of prophecy. Our brother-in-law has a long suit in the manifestation of prophecy. Every time he comes over to fellowship and we get together and stuff, he manifests, and it just sort of melts your face and parts your hair, and you're, whew, it's great. Okay, terrific. You know, that's how God designed the body, so the people have different functions that they can fulfill. And God would desire that within the church that people will manifest gifts of healing. This was certainly set the example, the bar set so high by the life and ministry of Jesus Christ. Look at Acts chapter 10. In Acts chapter 10, it says in verse 38, "How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was," what? "With him." Jesus Christ healed all that were oppressed of the devil. See, here, sickness or injury is called oppression of the devil. It doesn't come from the one true God. It's not God that desires you to be sick. It's not that God is making you sick to try you or prove your faith. Sickness is oppression from the devil. You know, there's some things in life, I don't know if you've noticed, but there's some things in life that when you get to them, you find out they're kind of overrated. I think some people spend their whole life pursuing material wealth or, you know, worldly riches. And then if they ever finally get them, they realize it's, you know, it doesn't really satisfy. That's what the Bible teaches. But I'll tell you one thing that isn't overrated is staying in good health. And all it takes is falling out of good health for a while with an injury or a sickness, and you realize that. You know, but God's will, God's desire is for you to be healed, for us to stay in good health, and then if we ever fall out of good health, that we get what we need. And he's given us a variety of ways to receive this healing. There's a record in the Gospels where there was a woman that had an issue of blood for 12 years. You read that record? You know, imagine an issue of blood for 12 years, just something that would have been a constant reality. But she heard about Jesus Christ because his fame had gone abroad, and she said that if I may but touch the hem of his garment, I will be healed. You know, if you go back into the Old Testament in the book of Numbers, it tells us that the Israelite men were to sew a hem on their garment, a ribbon of blue, and that that represented the word of God. And that's what she touched. It was the touchstone for her healing, the word of God. She knew that Jesus Christ could heal her. And it was that word of God that brought that healing and deliverance to that woman. And that's the same word of God that we have. See, it's the word of God that we've been hearing. It's the word of God that we believe. And it's the word of God that heals. So tonight, as we get together, if there's any of you that have a concern, that have a need, tonight's the night to get that need met. I'd like to pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we come before you. We know your will. We know your desire for each of us. And Father, we ask that you will perform your will to deliver your people as you have promised. Father, we are so thankful for what Christ came to do to make healing available to all of us. And Father, as we commence on this ministering service, I ask, Father, that you work in not only the ones ministering, but the people receiving. And Father, that we believe together for a great night of deliverance. And it's in the name of Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen. If Bruce...